It's the 10 to 1 podcast with your host, Brad Oman, featuring Ben Conowitz and Nate Laux. And here's the podcast.
It's another episode, another season down, guys. Listen, we've been doing this now for, what, 2.5 years?
Yeah.
Yeah, actually.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, my God, it feels weird. It feels like we just started this thing.
And we are season 49.
In the books.
Dunzo.
Yeah, we wrapped it up with the Jake Gyllenhaal episode. And now comes the time where we've had some time to reflect on the season. And we're doing a little wrap up on the entire season where we're going to take a retrospective look back and figure out what some of our favorite sketches were, our favorite hosts, our favorite episodes, our favorite cast member. And we even have some not so coveted awards to give out. That doesn't mean that the awards are bad.
They're coveted.
But no one really...
They're coveted.
They're coveted. No, people
highly,
have been talking about these.
Highly.
So many people have been talking about these
Name
awards.
Name one.
Ben Conowitz.
Ben Conowitz, Nate Laux,
okay.
Lorne Michaels.
Lorne?
Yep.
Yeah.
What did he say?
He said, don't... How did you get this number?
At first, that was going to be a terrible
one. Yeah, I did such a good...
I'm like, come on now. You can do a Lorne.
How did you get this number? Please leave me alone.
That's pretty good. So we wanted to take a look back at season 49 now that it's over, and we have some in-between time in the summer while SNL is on hiatus until they come back in September or October for season 50.
Hiatus?
Hiatus. And we're definitely looking forward to season 50, and we'll have some episodes here coming up over the summer where we dig back into our SNL movie recap situation.
Didn't somebody have an idea for us to do summer episodes about... What was it? Other episodes? Watching some other episodes of SNL too.
We did get a comment on our page, yeah, that they said that they might like us to do some episodes digging into older episodes and stuff like that.
Because that could be fun with listeners, letting them know. Listen, we're going to watch this all together. And
someone said that they particularly enjoyed the episode where we picked our 10 favorite cast members of all time, and they would like to see some other episodes like that. So we might try and throw some other
give
fun
us some
ones
ideas.
In there.
Yeah, listeners, give us some ideas.
Do our work for us.
I will tease.
It's my favorite type of work.
I've already proposed this to Ben and Nate, and we'll probably.
We said no.
I think we'll try and do it this summer, but we'll do something involving SNL digital shorts. So stay tuned for that.
Because I'm trying not to watch Stuart Saves His Family.
That's basically what Nate has boiled down
so
to.
So if you can give us more ideas of things that we can do on this podcast over the summer, because Brad's going to want to do more episodes this summer. He's going to.
He's going to
just know it.
The people want it.
I know, but you're going to want it more than they do.
Yeah, it's
and
true.
So,
wow.
Because you like to hang out.
Oh, and you don't?
Not necessarily.
Not Nate does not. He said it.
I leave here very
So
quick.
Nate gets a girlfriend, and all of a sudden he doesn't want to hang out with the boys.
Yes.
And my girlfriend's not even here, right?
Yeah, so, actually, for like a month.
Well, also, she's in Chicago. She's an hour away.
Yeah, but she's also like right now, she's left the country.
She's in a different continent. Yes, but...
and Nate's like, I'm good on the hangout. I'm fine.
She's in a different continent, is she?
She's in...
Where do you think Brazil is, buddy?
Oh, is she in South America?
Yeah,
oh, okay.
She's in Brazil.
For some reason,
I was
thinking that she was in Central America.
She's Brazilian. She went home. No, I don't.
Fuck off, Ben.
Listen, study geography.
Hey, study my ass.
I did. We talked about that.
We looked at it. We had us look at that bump.
Is the growth
it's
okay?
It's still there.
Well, I mean,
it's very hairy.
Anal fissures. What can you do?
All right. Hey, should we go? Should we go through and talk about, or not talk about each episode? But I'll go through each episode.
No, you're right. People. Let's talk about each episode
in detail.
Just list off the hosts so we know what we're pulling from.
Give me a good noise and a bad noise if you like that. That's how we're going to review it. So, for bad and for good or something like that.
This doesn't sound good.
That's just Nate's childhood all coming swarming back.
That's the best I got from my dad.
Is Larry David reviewing all these episodes of SNL?
Like, Nate, did you get an A+ in your report card? I guess that's okay.
Okay, what's a good sound then?
Yippee.
Okay. What do you got, Brad?
Or we each have different?
Yeah, because we're not going to review each episode, but I want to know if you liked it or not.
Oh, yeah.
What's a bad noise?
Oh, no.
Ugh.
Okay, here we go.
All right.
Pete Davidson.
Oh, wait, maybe we need a middle sound.
Yeah, I was going to say that. I'm going to do it later.
Bad Bunny.
Oh, yeah.
Yippee!
Nate Bargatze.
Yippee! Oh, yeah.
Timothée Chalamet.
Oh, yeah.
Jason Momoa.
to oh no.
Emma Stone.
Oh yeah.
Yippee.
Adam Driver.
Oh yippee. Yeah.
Kate McKinnon. Jacob Elordi.
Oh, fuck you.
Wow.
I'm sorry. It was terrible. I'm sorry.
That was Travis Kelce.
I hate Jacob Elordi.
No, Jacob Elordi is good. The episode was not.
He's so much worse than Travis Kelce.
Yeah, oh, no. As a host.
Yeah,
sure.
That's what I'm talking about.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah. I don't hate him as a person. He's a terrible host.
Dakota Johnson.
Ugh.
You know what? For the Nepo Baby sketch alone, I'll go.
No, that's just one sketch.
It was so good.
Ayo Edebiri.
Oh, yeah.
Shane Gillis. It was a good episode. You're fine. Sydney Sweeney. Josh Brolin.
Oh, yeah.
Yippee.
Rami Youssef. Kristen Wiig.
Yippee. Yeah,
what?
That episode was just okay.
No, that was a great episode.
No, that was a great episode.
Maybe
great
I'm
episode.
Misremembering.
You are.
Nope.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
You're thinking
no,
Maya
it was
Rudolph.
Very good.
You're thinking Maya Rudolph.
Maya Rudolph was only okay. But
maybe that's what it was. I know there's some very good sketches in Kristen Wiig.
No, that was one of my favorite episodes of the year, actually.
Oh, okay.
You're misremembering, I promise.
Okay.
Ryan Gosling.
Oh, yeah!
Whoa.
Oh, yeah!
Yippee. Just a normal yippee. Not like your penis got rock hard.
Oh yeah.
Jeez, oh Pete. Oh wow. Sorry, listener.
Speaking of Dua Lipa.
But secretly, oh yeah.
Maya Rudolph. Jake Gyllenhaal. All right. I think we had a lot of ass. And
but more yippees than
I think
oh
we had a lot of yeah good. There wasn't a lot of bad episodes.
Yeah, there were like three or four downright terrible episodes.
Yeah,
there
were only a couple Johnsons in the bunch.
All right, let's talk about your three favorite. Let's talk about sketches, okay? Some really great sketches.
Or let's start with cast members, like we talked about before the podcast.
I know, but I don't remember what you said. All right, we want to do top three cast members. Is that right?
Yeah, let's start with the cast members.
All right.
Let's recap, remind everybody, who all is in the cast, Nate?
Yeah, read all 47 people in the cast.
All right. Michael Che, Mikey Day, Andrew Dismukes, Chloe Fineman, Heidi Gardner, James Austin Johnson, Punky Johnson, Colin Jost, Ego Wodum, which I think this was the year we actually figured out how to say Ego Wodum.
Exactly.
I knew the whole time.
No, I knew the whole time. You didn't. Sarah Sherman, Kenan Thompson, Bowen Yang, Marcelo Hernandez.
These are the featured players now.
Molly Carney, Michael Longfellow, Chloe Trost, new member, and Devin Walker.
Yeah.
That's all of them. That's all 52 people.
Yep. That took a long time.
It's not as many as there was before.
It's a lot.
What was last season? How many?
Well, because last season we had Kate, and we had who else?
Sure.
Cecily Strong for half the season.
Yeah, Cecily Strong.
Yeah,
lives longer. A.D. Bryant,
no.
Kyle Mooney.
Beck Bennett was still on the show.
Yeah.
Tim Robinson.
Jerry Minor.
Nope.
Sashir Zameda was still there.
Charles Rocket.
This doing anything for you?
Yeah, like these obscure cast references.
By the way, it's Cleghorn. Literally the same amount of cast members that was there last year.
Exactly.
Shut up, Nate.
Exactly. You dork.
I'm not a dork.
You are a dork.
All right, I'm a strong man.
So we'll start with cast members. Who's your third? I suppose.
Who are you asking? Let's go with Brad.
My third best cast member this season was Kenan Thompson. Kenan Thompson is always reliable, always hilarious. He's great when he's being silly and over the top, playing goofy characters. He's a great middleman in a sketch. He can save bad sketches. He elevates good sketches, and he's just reliable. Just a great cast member, and I enjoy him all the time. I feel like he could consistently like make the top three just because he's that good.
That's
hey, Ben.
Fair.
Hey Ben.
Hey Nate.
Can I talk to you about the fine print of this question?
Sure.
Is this what we think was the three best cast members for their performance, or was this our three favorite cast members? Like, you know, because, for instance, Marcelo Hernandez probably wasn't one of the three best cast members, but he was one of my three favorite of the season.
Then why is Marcelo Hernandez my number three?
Oh, look at that. So look at that.
Go on.
Marcelo Hernandez is my number three.
It's a pretty good choice.
Because he not only is obviously still finding his way in the show, but this is a breakout season for him for sure. And the amount of times that I just spent laughing because of him is the reason that I picked him.
I'm going to go with you the same thing because Marcelo Hernandez was my number three, but I wasn't sure if we were going with like overall, you know, employee of the year type of thing. Or
I just
favorite.
Tried not to, believe it or not.
I mean, I think it's a little column A, column B because like,
because Keenan's going to be in top three for everyone because he's so good.
Well, I mean,
right?
But not necessarily though, because this is like your personal picks. I mean, it's supposed to be subjective, you know. I mean, like it's.
I know. Big surprise. I didn't think about this too hard. I just wanted I wanted it to come to me. Like, okay, just thinking back through season 49, who do I think made me laugh the most? And that's what I'm going
for. I'd have to pick Marcelo Hernandez as you did, and who knows, it might be on Brad's top two as well. But like, he had such a breakout season. And
it was so fun to watch.
He started every time he was on the screen. He did the thing that all of the great cast members do. You just start watching. What are they going to do?
Right?
And
you look forward to what he's going to do next.
So he was my number three.
I came very close to putting Marcelo Hernandez.
He was in the conversation for you.
He was definitely in the conversation.
Who's numero dos for you then, Brady boy?
My number two is Sarah Sherman. I love Sarah Sherman. She is hilarious. She's a big part of the movement that we've seen on SNL over the past couple of years, where they've really been leaning into more alt comedy to the point where we've almost seen the concept of the 10-to-1 sketch disappear because she's bringing such weird, outlandish, goofy, gross ideas to the table. Whenever she's doing a Weekend Update character that turns into a roast of Colin Jost, I love it. She's just brought a lot of new abstract comedy, alternative comedy style to SNL. And on top of that, she just fits in with the cast really well because she's not always just doing her own weird thing. Like she can play, you know, a random waitress at a bar or something like that. She easily fits in a variety of roles, but I love when she stands out and is herself and really leaning into her own comedy. So Sarah Sherman's my number two.
Okay. All right, Ben.
Andrew just mukes.
Son of a biscuit.
Are you serious? Did you guys like get together and like touch tips?
Is that who you picked for your number
that
two?
That is exactly who I picked for my number two.
What the hell?
Yeah, no. He had just thinking back.
I think though, I do think Ben and I tended to like some of the same sketches this season that you, some of the ones that we liked you didn't like. We thought they were pretty good.
I'm not sure if that happened very often.
I think
yeah,
that happened
all,
a couple
it
times.
All the time.
Yeah, no, almost every episode. Wow. Yeah, a lot of episodes. Yeah, I
know. No, just again talking about a guy that's coming into his own. You know, the beep beep sketch, just stuff like that.
Beep.
I said beep beep. Beep. Like, he's just this solid performer now, and it's not just as a side character, but he's the main part facing off with the host a lot of times, and it's always funny. He really, really good.
He's got this Will Forte element to him, in my opinion, where, you know, he's a little off center, right? And so he also, because we talk about who writes the sketches, and he writes a lot of his sketches, and same with Sarah Sherman, they have a unique voice in their comedy, which I always appreciate as a writer when you're like, oh, that's a Sarah Sherman sketch, yeah. Right? Because it's you're not saying it as it's predictable. It's just you know their voice when when a sketch is performed. Yeah. And Andrew Smith has that as well. Actually, those two are probably the most, out of the performers, the sketch performers that have the most unique voices on the shows. And I just love Andrew Smooks. He can get me laughing in a look. He is a unique character. There's not a ton like him on SNL. And so I just love him. I think he had a great season.
He did.
He did have a great season. That's very true.
All right, number one, Brady Bear.
My number one. On this particular day?
Just today.
Just today.
It'll change tomorrow. It changed yesterday.
It could. Maybe. Who knows? Comedy's a fickle friend. my number one is Mikey Day.
Mikey Day was great this year.
Mikey Day was fantastic this year, and not just as a cast member, but as a writer, because he writes on sketches even if he's not a prominent part of them. He's constantly working with Streeter Seidel. He's a phenomenal writer as well as a cast member. And I just, when I was going back through like the great sketches of the year and just like watching Mikey Day, I really honed in. I was like, yeah, Mikey Day, man. Like, I don't think that people necessarily think of Mikey Day as like a real great, you know, actor on SNL or anything like that. But I feel like he's a package deal. He's a great writer. He's a great performer. I think he probably was the best. And so that's why I gave him my number one spot.
Okay. Good for you. Good for you. My number one is Bone Yang. Hold for applause.
That's so brave of you, Ben.
I know. It's a boring choice because it's the easy choice. He's the funniest person on the show, in my opinion, when it comes right down to it. He is able to do what Kenan does and save a sketch.
Yeah.
But he's also got so many different characters and just performances in him.
Yeah.
He elevates every single thing that he's in. Every single thing.
I think I would have put Yang like in my list, but I feel this season I felt like he had some misses. Where I was just like, yeah, I don't know.
You're just still hung up on that one guy that he played.
Go on.
The roommate or whatever, the guy that's like he wears like the Stewie Griffin shirt.
That was one bad one, but like
that's the one you hated.
He had several
you
whiffs.
Just hated it.
He had several whiffs.
He
wasn't bad by any means, but that's what made me not put him in the top three.
I never fail to watch him make me laugh.
I would love if someone could go back and listen to all the other episodes and pick out the Bowen Yang sketches that Ben actively disliked.
I should just make a supercut of all of them.
Yeah.
And there's three, so it'll be easy.
It's more than that.
Boom.
I bet you there's more.
Boom. If I could drop this mic, I would, but it's on a stand.
There's more that he didn't
How
like.
About you, buddy?
Yeah, what's yours, Nate?
Why is it Heidi Gardner?
I'm going to kick your nuts.
It's actually Mikey Day.
Yeah, me and Nate are the real friends.
I do, I do prioritize cast member writers, and Mikey Day wrote some really great stuff this year. And
nerds,
no, he did, and he performed really
well.
That
just goes to show you that Ben doesn't care about the writers.
No, I've said it before; they do nothing.
Ben actually did a strike against the writer's strike.
I was like, wow, these guys are already overpaid.
Yeah, he stood outside of LaPorte Seamless Gutter with a sign that said, fuck off WGA.
Yeah, I was like, more AI, less human, more AI, less.
He was just great.
It's a great chant. I wrote it myself.
Obviously.
There's a lot of people that could have been in the top three, though, I think, for all of us, right?
At the very least, 15 of them.
No, I mean, honestly, Kenan Thompson is always going to be right there.
Yep.
Heidi Gardner did great. Ego this year stepped up because
none of them had a bad
season. Seriously,
they
were great. They were great.
All right. Hey, Brad, I mean, do you want to go with top sketches or top episodes? Where do you want to go?
Let's talk about our top sketches.
I'm ready for this. Do you want me to go first?
Yes.
I would love it if you started this one.
What's your third favorite of the year?
My third favorite of the year.
Well, actually, hold on. Before we get to that, do you guys have some of your honorable mentions?
I just deleted them, but yes. I have two honorable mentions.
Okay.
I could have put more, but two that I was really having a hard time with.
Okay.
Jumanji. I really like Jumanji.
Jumanji was on my short list.
And which is ironic. This is the only good sketch of this episode. Please Don't Destroy's roast. I thought it was hilarious.
That was the best thing.
I almost put it on my short list, but like it was. When I rewatched it, I didn't love it as much as I did the first time. Not that I disliked it, but like when I compared it to all the other sketches I was considering, I was just like, nah, that one's not.
There were some other ones that were, but I had a harder time taking those off the top three.
My favorite Please Don't Destroy sketch of the season, and this was the only one of theirs that made my short list, was the original Princes of Comedy.
Oh, good. That's a great one. That was a great one.
It's okay.
Shut up.
Ben,
what honorable mentions for you? You know anything?
I didn't write any down, but off the top of my head, I mean, Beep Beep.
I should have put that one in there. That's a great one.
It really is.
That's a great one.
Beep Beep was on my short list.
Really, really, really funny list. And yeah, I mean, the roast was a very, very fun. Man, I also really liked the Bad Bunny Shrek thing.
Oh, Bad Bunny Shrek was... I mean, Please Don't Destroy, they were more on it than off.
You don't remember it.
No, I remember it. But for me, that episode, I liked The Age of Discovery.
Oh, that was great.
More
yeah.
than the Shrek
well,
one.
Yeah,
and
don't talk about that yet.
Oh, spoiler alert.
No, Age of Discovery would be on my honorable mention list as yeah. well. It didn't quite make the top three like it did for Nate, but for me, it was...
Number three?
I have a couple other mentions.
He's got more.
I want to put down Little Orphan Cassidy, Chloe Trost's sketch where she sings at Timothy Chalamet as the moon.
I rewatched that and it wasn't as funny the second time.
I actually thought it was funnier than I remember, actually.
Really?
Yeah. There was stuff that I'd forgotten about it. And then I also want to shout out Fully Naked in New York City.
Oh, I forgot that. Yeah.
Yeah. I think I liked it even more so. I already liked it originally, but like it's such a random, weird idea that like where does that come from? You know, it's such a strange song, and it's a really well written song too.
It's a banger.
It's very catchy, and
the honorable mention, the civil rights leader on SNL's Weekend Update, is that?
Oh, sure, yeah.
Because it's not a sketch, but God, name a better thing that's happened. You know?
Great prank that Michael Che played on Colin Jost.
So good,
yeah. And then this year was also this April Fool's, right? Isn't that when Colin didn't have anything to get laughed at?
Yes.
Yeah.
So that also needs to be on there because it was a great these are great moments.
That was a great
show.
Moment. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. That's the hard thing. Those are great moments and you don't forget them. They're so good. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. All right. Let's go with top three then. I'll start with my first one. I'm going to go with The Age of Discovery.
I thought
it was hilarious and I rewatched it. And it was funnier the second, like when I rewatched it. Bad Bunny is so good. This was also where I started finding a new appreciation for Marcelo Hernandez.
Absolutely,
he co-wrote the sketch. He's so funny in this sketch. It's hard to make a sketch that is not in English as funny as it is to English speakers.
Yeah,
right. And they did. It was hilarious.
Because you have to pick up the punchline from reading the subtitles.
Yep.
But it's not just the joke in the subtitles that's funny. It's the delivery of Marcelo Hernandez and Bad Bunny.
Delivery. It's so funny.
Yeah. Bad Bunny's delivery is hilarious, too.
It is. He's great.
You know, I think we even said this back then when we reviewed it. The language barrier, you can't hold that against Bad Bunny. If this was an all-Spanish show... Like it probably would have been
one of the top episodes
the season.
When he was speaking Spanish, he was hilarious.
It was amazing. So I want to see him on
Pedro Pascal one was hilarious.
You know, yeah. Saturday Night Live.
You would love him if he did Sábado Gigante.
Is that a thing?
Yeah, it's it's like a big extravaganza show.
Yeah, I know. I'm not that.
Sábado Gigante.
Oh, somebody is half Mexican on this podcast.
Yeah, little braggart.
See.
I also loved Andrew Smukes in this sketch. He has some subtle things, and they're like John Krasinski looks at the camera sometimes, but they're so funny. Or he'll just go yeah, and he'll look at the camera and just say yeah, and it's so funny.
It's his little way when he's like go around.
Yep. it's just so good. I loved the sketch, and it was well produced, well directed.
Yeah, I agree.
Loved it. All right, what's your number three, Ed?
My number three is Make Your Own Kind of Music. This is from the Emma Stone episode, and I went back and looked at my review of the Emma Stone episode, and this was not my favorite sketch of the night.
Remind me
what this is.
This is the sketch where Chloe Trost plays Mama Cass, and she's singing the...
It was kind of her coming out.
And Emma Stone is the producer, and she's talking about how in the future they're going to use her song as like in movie trailers and stuff like that. Yeah, and Emma Stone acts out the movie trailers.
I loved this
sketch. Her performance was so good.
Yeah, I've watched this because I showed it to my mom, and then I rewatched it when I was putting this list together. And watching Emma Stone in this sketch, like it just made me love it even more. And
she's brilliant.
It's such a unique idea for a sketch, and just the way that she brings it to life, especially because there are a lot of physical parts of this performance that make it funny. And a big part of it is hitting certain marks because it's like she's using the different instruments as weapons. She has to do that. She does it in slow-mo. There's even one in the final one where she has to like act like her hand is coming up out of a grave and she has to like be like in perfect position with the camera to make it look like that. I laughed so much at this sketch and I really liked it. And that's how it made my top three.
My third is Airplane Baby.
Adam Driver?
Adam Driver.
What? Wow.
I remember watching it. And
I remember
it.
You loving this.
I loved it then.
And it's hilarious.
And I love it now.
I know, but
it's so good.
It's so Ben, too. Like,
it's
it is
so
a very
absurd, and it's so
almost
funny.
Almost 90s kind
yep,
of.
It's just such a funny premise, and Adam Driver is the only one I can see pulling that off the way that he does with the gravitas in his voice. And I just love shit like that where it's like, I've never seen that before, and I can't believe I've never seen that before, right? Like, it's just the idea that that you could explain what a baby is going through, and for comedy's sake, but putting his adult head on it. Oh, my God. Loved it.
All right. My number two, Washington's Dream, the Nate Bargatze episode. I loved this. This was so perfectly written for Nate Bargatze, and it allowed him to do his – if you've ever watched Nate Bargatze's stand-up, he does this kind of – simple stutter type of comedy where it's slow, it's methodical, it's he says things very dry,
mm-hmm.
and but playing on the absurd when he says it, right? And this was perfectly written for him, and I just thought it was hilarious. Keenan in this is so funny. They talk about and you know, people like me, we're going to have rights, right? And he's like, and he just moves on.
Distance
to the next.
Will be measured.
Yeah. It was
like, we will still use meters, but only for the obscure sports.
And that's his dry delivery. Another thing I loved about it is it was pulling something that was absurd that we accept as normal, right? Mm-hmm. Our right. measuring, our distance
this
is
was,
all absurd.
This was my number two as well.
Yep. Okay, great.
It was number two.
Why don't you guys kiss?
We're best friends again. And it is, though. It's heightened because of Keenan's role in this.
Yep.
Because it could just be about the measurement stuff.
Yeah,
which
it's a great extra layer.
In and of itself is hilarious. And it's not necessarily a hat on a hat to go one level up and have the racial disparity in here. It just is a perfect capper to not letting them get away with what the actual timeline was, right? So our time frame of this was. I love it for that.
All right.
Yeah, this came close to being on my list. It was very close.
Don't try to be friends with us.
No. We get each other. Ben and I get each other.
I almost put it on the list.
What's your number two?
My number two is School Hypnotist. This is from the.
I don't remember this. What is this?
This is from the A.O. Adebiri episode.
I do not consent. To be hypnotized.
Oh, yep. She's fantastic.
Don't try to invade my mind, warlock.
she was so great in this.
I have rewatched this sketch so many times.
I love
her performance in this sketch. Dismukes is great because he's playing the straight man, and he does a really good job at just being like awkward, like, oh okay, buddy. And like the fact that everyone gets in on it too, like Chloe Fineman is like, let get out of his mind, Mr. Hypnotist. And then Kenan Thompson comes in and he like pretends like, oh, like he's hypnotized. I love this sketch.
This was one of those sketches where you see AO, is mm-hmm. it AO, and you go, oh, she could have been a cast member.
Oh, 100%.
You know, that spoke to me and said, like, I wish in another world she would have been on that show.
No, I will. Again, pull for her to come back in a future
season.
Oh,
please.
She's great.
Please, please, please.
Yeah.
All right. Number one, I will go Beavis and Butthead. This was, I think, a season-defining sketch. This had sometimes this doesn't happen every season, but sometimes there's a sketch that gets everyone talking about it, mm-hmm. even people that don't watch SNL, and this sketch did it.
Yep.
It took everything by storm. It was on the news. It was because Heidi Gardner broke, but it was also just absurd. It was characters then that lived longer than the sketch. At the Fall Guy premiere, Ryan Gosling and Mikey Day came dressed as these characters, mm-hmm. right? And so
Jeff and Aaron or whatever.
Yeah.
And so it was one of those sketches where you see unfold going, they're making magic right now. This is magic, right? And it wasn't prepared magic, right? It was Heidi Gardner had to laugh the way she had to laugh. Mikey Day had to break the way he had to break. Ryan Gosling always
Everyone
breaks.
Had to break, yep. yeah.
But I'm often critical of the breaks if they're Jimmy Fallon or Pete Davidson done. But this was not that. It was organic.
Keenan,
it was funny.
Kenan Thompson just going like, oh, you're going to put them right next to each other again? Like, that, just stuff like that, where it's like, now we're referencing what's happening in the sketch, too.
So perfectly written, so well done. There was, you know, we had complained a little bit this year that some of the direction for the live sketches was not perfect.
Right.
And they were missing some cuts, and milliseconds and cuts can ruin a joke.
Sure.
And,
yep.
And I felt like it did a couple times. And this didn't. It hit it every time. I loved this sketch.
Well, Nate, this was also my number one.
Hey,
ooh.
Bestie.
Yeah. Hey, guess what? Not mine.
Wow. You know,
it didn't even make top three.
Wow, that's shocking. Because this was like one of the best sketches of the entire season. Of one of the best sketches
of the last couple years.
Of the decade. yeah. I mean,
it will go on all the highlight tapes.
Yeah, this is an all-timer great sketch. I loved the sketch. I mean, the makeup effects are hilarious. The breaking only enhances it. Because like the sketch is good on its own. The breaking enhances it for sure. It's one of those moments where it can only happen on Saturday Night Live. You know, this doesn't happen on other TV shows.
It was making the news. This was so absurd and funny.
It's very rare that you see follow-up interviews with people, and there were several interviews done with Heidi Gardner specifically after this sketch because of how much she broke during this sketch and how big it was. It went viral. It was big. It was hilarious. Definitely my favorite sketch of the year.
So what Dua Lipa sketch did you love, buddy?
No, I went with the home movies. With,
That was on my short list.
Okay. Yeah, I considered it.
So different.
Yeah.
Than any, and the only reason, honestly, that I didn't have
everyone what this sketch is.
I will. The only reason I didn't have the Beavis and Butthead on my list was because while it was obviously it's going to be on every best of, right? But it wasn't.
Oh, he wanted to be unique.
Well, it wasn't. They did the Bart Simpson one before, and so it was just it. The Home Movies one was a completely unique. I'd never seen them do something like this before. The Home Movies one was it was on the Dakota Johnson episode, actually.
Yeah. And actually, she was perfect.
Yeah,
this
and
one.
She didn't have to do much. She didn't have to do much. But basically, families getting together to watch old home movies on VHS tape, and they put in how Mom and Dad met, and it was an episode of like a Maury show. You Are Not the Father type episode, and just the dress. And the way that the set design came together and costuming came together, it was perfect.
It was pitch perfect as far as that.
It's very funny.
And it was so funny. And it's to watch the grandmother and the mom be older now, but back then, like, he's a hoe, don't worry about it. It made me laugh harder than anything all season.
Wow.
I'm interested to see if anybody else didn't have the Beavis and Butthead in their top three, because that was
only people who want to feel like they're cooler than.
Is that right? Is that why? Is that why? I am, but not why.
All right, let's move on to top three episodes. I went through at the beginning of this podcast, going through all the different hosts. So let's talk about the overall episode of the hosts, what you thought was the three best episodes from start to finish. Overall, when I asked you guys, you, I think, liked more than you didn't like, right?
Yeah.
And so... this will be interesting because I know that there was one, Brad, that you didn't like that is in my top three.
One that I didn't like?
That you thought was just okay.
Huh.
All right.
You ready?
Oh, sure.
My third favorite episode was the Nate Bargatze episode. And I mean, it was really good.
Okay.
It was better than most all of them. I would say third. Out of all,
good job. Want to spin some more wheels?
No, everything about it. I love it when a stand-up does a good monologue. Right, that's always awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And Nate's monologue was great. The Washington sketch is a season high for a lot of us. And just overall, I went back and just read through the sketches, and I just thinking about all of them individually, they still brought a smile on my face. I remember really, really liking that episode. The thing is, I didn't pick Nate Bargatze, and spoiler alert, I didn't pick Nate Bargatze as one of my best hosts, though, because I don't think it was him that episode. I think it was just the episode on its own merit.
Okay.
And that's why I picked it.
Well, all right. If you say so.
I do say so.
Nate?
I'm going to go with Kristen Wiig for my number three. I thought she had a fantastic episode. You thought it was just okay.
Yeah, I thought it was fine.
You're misremembering.
Yep,
I'm gonna go look right now at all of the sketches.
So I'll give you a list of the sketches.
No, don't do that. I want to do my own work.
Okay,
that'll be fun for the listener.
Jumanji, Jumanji was fantastic.
Jumanji was in my consideration for the best sketches.
Secretaries with Heidi Gardner was fantastic.
I remember liking Secretaries, and I remember it still worked very well. But it was.
We're gonna go through each sketch. He's like, oh no, I did love that one. I also liked that one.
Yep. Retirement Party was so funny.
Party was good.
Just a lot of good stuff happened in that episode.
So Pilates was okay.
Pilates was funny. I thought Pilates was
go karts was pretty good. La Maison du Bain was.
Oh, I like that one. Okay. I think I like that one better than you did.
Okay.
So
and then her Aunt Linda returning was just fine at Weekend Update, I thought, as well. And then of course the cold open was March Madness, whatever.
And so. You had in the monologue you had. Matt Damon come back, you remember?
Five-timer stuff was, yeah, five-timer stuff. I mean, that's fine.
Yeah, so that was fun. I just had a lot of fun that episode. So,
okay.
All right, Brad, what was your number three?
My number three is Ayo Edebiri's episode.
Really?
Yeah. Do you not remember Ayo Edebiri's episode?
Just
yeah, you fucker. Ayo Edebiri's episode was fantastic. As we discussed, you know, she fits right in with the SNL cast. She feels like she could be a cast member easily. And there, I liked pretty much every single sketch from that episode. The only one that I don't think was particularly good was the elevator sketch because it just felt like too easy, too obvious. But otherwise, yeah, that was just a fantastic episode, and she in particular was what made the episode great because she was just so seamlessly fit in with the
totally
SNL
great.
Cast.
All right, number two, Ben.
My number two, Kristen Wiig.
Good choice.
Wow.
Yeah, for all the reasons Nate said about his number three.
What about my reasons?
Poor choices.
Oh.
Hey, Ben, my number two, Nate Bargatze.
Yeah!
All right,
best friend. These best friends are better than Brad. What's that? Better than Brad. What's that?
Better than Brad. All right, Brad. What about you, buddy? What's your number two?
I went with Kristen Wiig.
No, you didn't. We know it.
No, my mine was Adam Driver.
Driver had a solid episode, but it wasn't my favorite Adam Driver episode.
No, it's not my favorite Adam Driver episode, but it's my second favorite episode of season 49, since that's what we're talking about.
Yeah, that's interesting.
It is interesting. Thank you. No, Adam. I mean, Adam Driver is a fantastic host, and his episode, like again, like Ayo Edebiri's episode, I just remember liking pretty much all of the sketches, and that includes the cut for time sketches, because like those were great as well. And you know, we didn't get a lot of those this season, but the Adam Driver episode in particular was a good one for me.
Okay,
all right, number one,
my number one episode, Ryan Gosling.
My number one, Ryan Gosling.
My number one, Dakota Johnson. No, that's Ryan Gosling.
Yeah, so that I think we can all agree, obviously, the Beavis and Butthead was a wonderful thing. But just Kate McKinnon back as the alien cold open.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact, didn't they do it as the cold open as well?
Yeah, it was
yeah,
cold
so
open.
Like that was the perfect cold open. I mean, the show was just front to back fantastic.
Yeah, I rewatched the entire Ryan Gosling episode three times.
Yeah.
And it was
and every time it was
funny
it, right?
Every single time. Yep. Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's
can't
charming,
say enough
he's wonderful
good things about him hosting.
He gets SNL.
He gets it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And it was one of those things too where like Ryan Gosling enhances it, but it was also just a really good episode all around. This like the sketches were just the writers were firing on all cylinders.
I mean, him and Disputes like having the conversation about him needing to leave. I'm in over my head.
But we
tonight.
Talked a little bit about this. So that a good host can make sketches work or not, right? And so you have somebody like Ryan Gosling or Justin Timberlake or Travis Kelce do a sketch, and they make it come alive, right? And you put somebody like Dakota Johnson out there, and it's not great.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
A good host can elevate an okay sketch to great. Only a great host can save a sketch from being bad, though.
Yes.
And that's why we're going to get into hosts next.
Wow, what a transition.
Thanks for calling it out.
Appreciate all right, we'll start with you.
So even though this was my all of our collective favorite episode, Ryan Gosling is only my third favorite host. And that's partially because if there's one issue we have with Ryan Gosling
is that he breaks too much.
Yeah, he has a tendency to break too much. And granted, it's never breaking to the point where it derails a sketch, and it's never disingenuous. He's always breaking because he just can't hold back giggling because it's something funny is happening. That's just who he is. But that's, to me, that's what makes him more of a number three host as opposed to giving him a second or first place spot on this list as best host. But because he was so good and his episode was so great, he still gets the number three spot.
All right, number three.
I give it to Ayo.
Good.
Because I thought that she, her episode was very good, it was on my, if I had an honorable mention list for episodes overall, I would have given hers one. But I think that because of how great she was, that truly did elevate all the sketches of that night, and she deserves that spot. Like I said, when a host is really, really great, they can save a bad episode or they can make a good episode tremendous, and that's what she did.
I'm going to give an honorable mention, then I'll give you my third. I'm going to give Maya Rudolph an honorable mention because she probably wasn't in any of our...
She's my second.
Oh, really?
She is.
Because her episode
was
not good.
That was a trash episode, but she deserves it because
the hell out of
every
that.
Single thing she was in, she saved. Every single thing.
That's what I'm saying.
So that's why host goes to her, in my opinion.
It's hard because she should be honored for what she did.
Well, that's why we're doing a host category, guys.
I know, but it's just... my number three was Ayo Edebiri. She was fantastic.
Brad, how about you?
I already said mine.
Who was it? Brad Gosling, that's right. Who's your number two?
My number two is, funnily enough, Ayo Edebiri.
Ooh!
Yeah, I already stated why I loved Ayo Edebiri's episode and why she's a great host. And number two, that's what she gets.
My number one, as always, and will be...
No, Nate gets to do his number two first.
My number two is Adam Driver. I thought he was...
Damn it, that's my number one!
Well, don't spoil it.
This is why I don't like this.
That's why I don't like when you get to talk, too.
All right. Hey, Brad, you get to do number one first.
My number one, actually, is Emma Stone. Emma Stone is one of those hosts who is just unbelievably reliable. She is a master of comedy. She's never afraid to do anything physical, weird, silly, goofy. And rewatching some of her...
Oh, yeah!
Yeah. Rewatching some of her sketches from this episode. She's just great. Even in the sketches that didn't turn out like the best, she's always great in them. Uh-huh. She's always giving 100%. She's just a consummate performer through and through. And especially when it comes to comedy, you can just tell she loves comedy. She loves being on SNL.
That stretch of Emma Stone, Adam Driver, Kate McKinnon. Kate McKinnon's episode wasn't great, but she had a couple good sketches in there. That was a great stretch of
it was solid, yeah. Solid,
solid run.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right. Number one,
Adam Driver.
Really?
Yeah. For all the reasons.
I'm a little surprised that you gave Maya Rudolph over Emma Stone because I feel like Emma Stone, like, obviously Maya Rudolph deserves credit for making a not so great episode feel better than it was.
I think that that's what because it's I think that that's underrated how hard that is.
That's fair.
To be that good that you actually make a bad... It's a bad episode.
And that we noticed that she's doing so...
And we know you saw the reason it was tolerable was because of her.
Yeah.
That's the reason.
That's fair.
That's not a slam on Emma Stone. She's fantastic.
No,
she's
of course.
Fantastic. But Maya Rudolph deserves a shit ton of fucking credit there. Especially just looking at that monologue and the song.
Mm-hmm.
Just it really set the standard for what she's capable of.
Yeah.
And so if she would have gotten a little bit more help that episode, I think you would have seen her. We would have been talking about her a lot more, that episode a lot more.
That's fair.
Adam Driver, though, I always look forward to him. His bar for me is so high because I know what I'm expecting.
Yeah.
And if I'm still impressed by his performance and by his hosting abilities, even though I know the bar is so high, that's why I give it to him.
Yeah.
Because I'm already looking at it like, this better be awesome, and it fucking is every single time.
That's true.
I'm actually going to go with Ryan Gosling because I think... I find his breaking endearing. I think he does a great job. He gets SNL. He has fun. He did a fantastic monologue. I loved his episode.
So I have two of the hosts that you had two of the episodes. So
yep.
Adam and Ayo were two of your episodes, and I think that's funny because clearly we're on the same page as far as what we like mm-hmm. about the season. It's just depending on which you know, you're giving it more to the host, more to the episode, you know?
Yeah, for sure. And that was one thing, like when I was sitting there, when I had my short list for each category, there was a lot of overlap because obviously some of the best episodes you have some of the best hosts. True. You know?
Maya Rudolph.
Yeah, but then when I started breaking it down, I really honed in on like who nailed like just what you want from a host.
Sure.
Even if like they like their episode wasn't, you know, in it didn't end up, but that's why I ended up with Adam Driver, you know.
And I probably especially with Emma and Ao, I probably discount the entire episode because I'm just so focused on them as the host that I forget to. I didn't go back and rewatch like a lot of the sketches in those two. And I bet you if I would have done that, I probably would have had it.
Yeah, see, because I think my process for breaking down is probably a little easier than yours.
Just go back through your reviews?
No, honestly, yeah. No, what I literally went through every review and I looked at what the top two or three sketches were. Because I usually, just sometimes, like I found out when I was doing this, there are some sketches that end up in the second or third spot that when I rewatch them, I actually enjoy them more than it. And so I just kind of just made a list and I literally rewatched all of the ones that I thought were like top from pretty much every episode, unless I was like, I remembered enough about it where I was like, yeah, that one's not going to make it.
Gotcha.
So yeah, I had a list of like roughly like 20 sketches, I think, that I broke it down from.
And for our new listeners that might not know this, Brad writes a review for every episode on /film.com.
I didn't do every episode this season because there was a couple times I was sick or I was traveling.
Lazy.
Yeah, or I was just jerking it.
Sleeping.
All right, I've got a couple different awards that I want to give to some cast members based on my understanding of SNL and previous performers and things like this. And I'd be interested to see what you guys pick for this.
So the biggest dong?
James Austin Johnson.
Carlos Mencia.
What? All right.
Oh, sorry. I was just talking about overall.
All right. The first one
is the biggest overalls.
The Bear. This is named after Vanessa Bear for the most underappreciated cast member of the season. Who do you think did a great job this season that doesn't necessarily get the appreciation that they deserve? I went with Heidi Gardner. I think she was fantastic there. She didn't make any of our...
I think Ben appreciates Heidi Gardner enough for everybody.
It's true.
But she didn't make any top three, and she probably won't. But she's consistent in everything she does.
Sure.
Who would you guys pick for that?
So Nate texted us this today, and when I do appreciate it. I just didn't have the time to really do a lot of research about it.
It's off the top of your head.
But yeah, I think that I would go with Chloe Trost.
Really?
Because she's brand new, and yet she crushed so many things.
She's a bum.
But I'm still talking about Marcelo Hernandez as being, you know, the featured performer that is in the top three for me. So that would put her as being kind of underrated because, man, what was the first thing we saw her in? The Peter Pan sketch? Was that?
I don't know if it was the first thing, but
that was one of the first breakout performances of hers where she sung.
Mm-hmm.
And, oh, man. I mean, every time she's in something, and especially full disclosure, it's hard to sing and when you can sing that well, you get a little bit more leeway.
Yeah.
But still. I do really feel like she was underrated.
For me, the one where I think everyone really kind of took notice of how talented she is singing and also comedy is that Timothée Chalamet episode with Little Orphan Cassidy.
Yep.
Because that's the one where she really, like, she sings
has a
well.
Cecily Strong type of quality to
there. Yeah, she sings well, but she sings comedically, and she just has a really good job of tapping into a character musically.
And you have to realize she's stepping into something with, it's already a bloated cast.
Yeah.
How do you possibly make your way, and yet she did it.
What I love about this is... they had five members that they essentially were finalists for last year's, and she was the one that didn't make it out of the five, and now she's on it, right? And so I love that original five that they 2 years ago thought these are the five that should be on the show are now together, and she's a great addition.
She's a great addition.
Yeah.
Hey, who would you pick?
So this is going to seem weird because you guys both appreciated this person very prominently. But I think Andrew Dismukes is underappreciated.
Okay.
And that kind of just comes from my perception of like, you just don't really hear a lot of people outright praising Andrew Dismukes or talking about how great Andrew Dismukes is on SNL. Like no one would consider him, I think, a star on SNL, you know? And so that's why I picked Andrew Dismukes. I think that he's
last year was the octopus on the Weekend Update.
Yeah, yes.
It wasn't this year. It was last year.
Right.
And that's the first time where I remember being like, oh, if he had more opportunities like this, I want to see more of this.
Yeah.
That was drop dead hilarious.
Mine was when he kind of started doing some stuff like along the lines of like the kind of stuff that Kyle Mooney and Beck Bennett normally would have done. And I feel like since him and James Austin Johnson have gotten in a bit of a groove together and they have a similar vibe, like he's really started to stand out more. And especially with someone like Sarah Sherman, you know, introducing a lot more of an alt vibe, I think that it's made it easier for him to like get some of that kind of stuff on the show as well.
Sure.
All right, let's go with the next one. The Consistent Keenan Award, the Most Consistent Cast Member Award, named after, obviously, Keenan Thompson, who every year just brings it. And you might give this to Keenan.
I was going to say, can he win his own award?
He can win his own award, but I'm not giving it to Keenan. I'm giving it to Mikey Day. I thought Mikey Day was very, very consistent this season. Everything he wrote, I thought, was pretty solid. And his performances, he never was the bad thing about a sketch. So I'm going to give it to Mikey Day.
I think I'll give it to Ego Wodum.
It's a good choice.
I think that she's a consistency where she doesn't really fuck up lines. Yep. She's very reliable.
Correct.
And while she might not be able to have that look to save a sketch, she's also not going to be the reason it derails.
Her big thing is Lisa from Temecula, right? But she's done some really, really good stuff.
Yeah.
Cook my meat. mine is Bowen Yang. Because Bowen Yang is definitely like basically the next generation of Keenan Thompson.
Oh, great. Now who's a yin yak now? Yeah. Join the club.
Huh.
I liked him in earlier and you're like, really?
I like yin yak though.
Yin yak is pretty good.
But yeah, Bowen Yang, he is consistently good, you know. There are sketches that end up not being great where he saves them like Keenan Thompson can. He has silly characters, you know, all the time. Like he can interject and like just really make something work, even if it's just a bit part. So yeah, I feel like Bowen Yang's definitely up there with Keenan Thompson.
All right, next award, the William T. Hader Jr. Award for Best Impressionist of the Season.
Coveted.
Named after Bill Hader.
Coveted award.
This is a good one. And we've got some really great impressionists, right? Mikey Day can be a good impressionist, not always. Chloe Fineman's a great impressionist. James Austin Johnson, obviously, is fantastic. Sarah Sherman could do some impressions. But I'm going to give it to James Austin Johnson. We don't love cold opens on SNL most of the time.
Political.
Yeah, well, that's 90%
of why we don't like them, right?
But that shouldn't negate the fact that James Austin Johnson continues to perfect his Donald Trump in a way that is just... it's something to behold. And he also does other impressions as well. He's a skilled impressionist. I'm going to give him this award. What would you say, Brad?
I gave it to Chloe Fineman because as much as I do love James Austin Johnson's take on Trump because it's just it's perfect, you know, it's as disappointing as the sketches are, he's never the worst part of them because his Trump is just too good. But Chloe Fineman, for me, has a lot more range as an impressionist, and she is able to pull off a lot more. She's basically Kate McKinnon kind of incarnate. She doesn't have the same presence because Kate McKinnon has a weirder vibe about her. But Chloe Fineman is a chameleon, and so I think she's easily the best impressionist on the cast.
No, I got to give it to her as well.
She's fantastic, yeah.
The idea that... if you go and listen to the person that she's impersonating and you close your eyes, that's you can't tell.
She really hones in on very specific intonations.
Exactly,
yeah.
Exactly. And it's literally perfect. While, and again, James Austin Johnson, his take on Trump is, again, perfect. But the range.
Yeah.
You know, she can do so many things. And some decently obscure ones as well.
100%.
All right. Moving on. The Polar Fay Chemistry Award. Two cast members that showed the best chemistry together. Do we have anything like that this season? Cecily Strong, A.D. Bryant type of chemistry, or Bowen Yang and A.D. Bryant type of chemistry. Did you see anything like that this season?
For me, I kind of showed my hand at this earlier. It's Dismukes and Johnson, Andrew Dismukes and James Austin Johnson. They don't do this super often, but when they do get together, I do think that they make for a fantastic duo. And if they did collaborate more often, I think they probably could have something that is like a magic that like Beck Bennett and Kyle Mooney had, or Kate McKinnon and A.D. Bryant. So for me, it's those two.
I went with Sarah Sherman and Colin Jost every time they're together.
Nice.
I think
it's a good pick.
They're fantastic.
And so again, forgive me. If this was this year, I can defend it. If it was last year, I'm going to be screwed.
It's okay.
Was when Mikey Day and Punky Johnson were on Weekend Update. Was that this year?
I think it was at the earlier this year.
It was definitely early this season. If it was,
yeah. But I don't remember. But
I hope that that's true.
It was not. March 5th, 2023.
Wow, so a year ago. Well, I wish they'd bring that back. So let me just defend it anyway. I think that that was. I can't believe they haven't done something since. They had such real friendship that came through. I would have given it to them for sure. If I had to pick, the Sarah Sherman Colin Jost one is a really really good one, Nate. And Dismukes and James Austin Johnson as well, buddy. There isn't, though. There's not too much.
Much of that going on right now. Obviously.
You know what? Marcelo Hernandez and Kenan Thompson, when they can do the Dominican.
Yeah, that's solid.
That's a
really fun thing for me. And then when they get, like the Ryan Gosling episode especially, because Gosling gets in as, I'm dating a Cuban woman, and that's how they get away with doing it. That was fantastic.
Okay.
All right. Our last one, the David Spade Growth Award. If you know anything about David Spade,
he has a growth on his back.
Struggled for the first couple of seasons he was on SNL because he was not getting anything on. He thought he was going to get fired every episode and every season, and then finally made it pretty big. So this is an award given to a younger cast member who showed the most growth this year. Ben and I picked Marcelo Hernandez in our top three cast members.
It's got to be him, yeah.
I think it's hard not to pick him, but yeah. What would you pick, Ben or Brad?
No, I went with Marcelo Hernandez as well. It's like he's still only a featured player, and he just has shown tremendous growth and like really taken advantage of the time he has in the spotlight. He is a great performer in sketch comedy. He's had some pretty successful bits at the Weekend Update desk where he's been able to be himself, show his style of comedy when he does stand up. It's Marcelo Hernandez, I think, is a really easy choice for this one.
Longfellow's right there as
Yeah,
well.
Yeah, Longfellow. And Longfellow, I went back and forth, but Hernandez was just kind of undeniable.
Over the top, of course. Yeah. But I don't want to sleep on Longfellow because that guy, man.
I don't know, though. I think Marcelo Hernandez was the easiest.
Oh, it is, by far. But yeah. I want to honorable mention then. Yeah. To Longfellow. Because
Longfellow's got a little more to prove,
His stuff, like as the cigarette on Weekend
sleeper.
Update.
He's a sleeper.
You know, just stuff like that really makes me laugh.
Yeah, I agree. I actually, one that I really loved him in that I had forgotten how great he was in was in Emma Stone's episode, Question Quest, where he's the host of the game show and he's trying to give away his tortoise. He's amazing in that episode.
Yep.
That sketch, rather.
Yeah.
All right. That's all we have for you, everyone. We'd love to hear what you think about season 49.
Who's your favorite cue card holder? Is it still Wally?
I like Wally.
Yeah, me too.
He's pretty good. He's pretty good.
Okay, Wally it is.
Yeah.
Season 50 is coming up. Are we still going to be doing this podcast? Who knows?
No. Jesus, Dark. We will definitely still be doing this podcast, so make sure you tune in. And we will keep doing it over the summer as well. Like I said at the beginning, we'll dig back into SNL movies. We'll have a couple other fun countdown episodes that we'll dig
hear
into.
From you. Yeah, what do you guys want
to
start?
Yeah, is there anything that you specifically would like us to talk about on SNL that we can make an episode out of?
I love it.
Well, we love SNL.
And we love you.
And we love the Lord.
And we clearly don't love ending episodes. We never know how to do it. Hey, if you
like a good segue.
This podcast, listen to our other podcast, Go Flix Yourself. We talk about movies and trailers and have a lot of fun just making fun of each other, giving a little bit of razzin. We do a little razzin and razzmatazzin.
Give it a little bit of razzin.
Yeah, we do give it a little bit of razzin. But yeah, that one's always going. We do it as often as we can, sometimes weekly, sometimes
we try to do it weekly, but it's been a hard couple months.
Yeah, it's for some of us anyway. I mean, others have an easy time keeping
Brad's
schedule.
Brad's had a very open schedule.
Brad doesn't do much these days.
Brad's just doing a lot of packing.
That's really sad. All right, Brad, where can people find you online?
Texas.
If you like reviewing, nope.
If you like reviewing what I do for a living,
yelp.com/Brad Oman.
If you like hearing me ramble about Saturday Night Live, maybe,
we do.
Maybe you'd like to read what I think about Saturday
Reading
Night Live.
Reading takes a lot of work.
Ugh.
I do reviews of almost every new episode of Saturday Night Live on Slash Film. Every now and then I miss one. But feel free to check out slashfilm.com on Sundays after new episodes, and you'll see my full review in text where I break down things a little bit more in depth than I might do here on this podcast. And of course, you can always check me out on Twitter at Ethan_Anderton.
And Ben and I are online. We're on the Instagram and the LinkedIn and the MySpaces.
Friendster.
You can find us there.
GeoCities.
You ICQ. Can also go back and listen to previous episodes on the10to1.com. And if you have not subscribed and liked us on YouTube yet, please do that. More and more listeners.
Yeah.
Actually, we have more listeners on YouTube now than we do on any other platform. So,
wow.
Do listen to us there.
Maybe we'll have to start doing some videos.
Oh, nobody wants to see that.
Nobody wants to see our faces.
Well, not to see our faces. They can just do our chests.
Our highest rated episode on YouTube of this season, Yakov Smirnoff.
Cool.
I'm gonna end on that one.
Glad to be a comedy podcast for all of you to enjoy with that Yakov Smirnoff.
Boy, he definitely took the vibe from 10 to 1.
Oh my God.
By the way, do you really want to know what our most popular episode was?
Yes, I do. What was our most listened to?
Nate Bargatze.
Nate Bargatze.
Oh. Then Ryan Gosling, then Pete Davidson.
Well, there you go.
All right.
People love their hot white guys.
All right. Well, hey, thank you so much for listening to this. We'll be back here soon in a couple weeks. Be good to yourself. Be good to others. Bye-bye.